This chapter number 20. I apologize to Brother Smith. I usually have it to him early. If we could stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter number 20. It's good, like to say it's good to have Brother Hercules Harmon been so faithful and doing good and a big asset. There's one thing that the church needs: strong men. Amen. Church needs strong men. And I believe our ladies, our prayer warriors, our ladies, our leaders, our ladies are very valuable to the kingdom of God. But we can't let the ladies carry the load, entire load of the church. Amen. We need men of God in our midst. And I am proud of where God has brought him from. In Jesus' name. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 20. It's where we are starting. God gave me this message about a week and a half ago. It's been laying on the dash of my truck, driving down the road on a little piece of paper. It's probably somewhere in my Bible. There it is. There's my notes for this message. From some time back, and last night, actually 2 days ago, I went out to the truck and grabbed these notes because I felt it was time to preach what God had given me. So here we go. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 20 reads like this. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. But pay close attention to verse number 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Notice, the altar and the sacrifice are connected with blessing. Looking now at verse number 25, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. Notice, it was a command. He said, if you're going to make it out of stone, don't put any tools to it. He says, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. He said, if you determine the structure and the build of the altar of your own volition, you will pollute the altar. Then he goes on to say, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. He said, don't tread on the altar. Can I preach just for a little while on this simple topic of broken altars? Broken altars. And you will see where I'm going with this in just a little bit. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I'm asking you for strength, wisdom, guidance today, God, to deliver what you have put into my spirit, into this wonderful group of believers. We ask your anointing to penetrate our minds and our spirits today. Help me to deliver what you've given me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Altars have always had a purpose in the realm of God. Altars have had a place from the beginning of time. Even in the earliest of times, we all remember the story of Cain and Abel and how one sacrifice was accepted and one was not accepted. But altars have been something from all throughout the Old Testament that was very, very important. You find one of the first things the children of Israel did when they got into trouble was to build an altar. It was to build a place that they could go back to God and they could offer a sacrifice and commit themselves and rededicate themselves to God. Altars were very important in the Word of God. Altars have always been a place where the sacrifice was laid. It was there upon the altar that was something special was taken, whether it was a gift offering, an offering of sin sacrifice, or whatever it was. There was always something that was taken and put upon the altar. The thing that was put upon the altar was always something of value. You didn't take something that wasn't important, that wasn't valuable to you, and go putting it on the altar. It was a waste of time. It was looking at God and saying, "You're not important enough for me." But God always instructed them to take something of value and put it on the altar. It was a place that Abraham probably during his life wished he could have heard a different instruction from God as he decided to go up that hill that day, and knowing his own son was the sacrifice. But it must have been a struggle as he headed up that hill that day, knowing that the most valuable thing in his life was going to be laid on an altar. And unbeknownst to him, when God recognized his obedience, when God recognized that he was willing to put the most valuable thing in his life upon that altar, God showed an escape route. And there in the bushes was the ram, and the ram was taken and offered in the sacrifice instead of his own son. But somehow along the way, there are times that we build our own sacrifices. We build our own altars in our life. There's places in our lives that we find that we remember, and we look back and we remember those points of refuge, those points of times that we found our correct direction, that we found the place that we needed to be. We found the place or the error of our ways, and we found a point in, whether it was in an altar in front of a church, or was an altar in a pew, or whether it was an altar in our bedroom, whether it was an altar in driving down the road with tears streaming down our face. We found a place with God, and it was a valuable place. It was a place that we will never forget. It was a place where we were moved to compassion. We were moved by our physical emotions. Why? Because altars have value. And altars are a place of communion between heaven and earth. The Creator and the creation. God and man. And that's done at an altar. There are things that we find scripturally that are very important with altars. I find it very interesting, the detail that goes into describing how an altars were to be built biblically. There was not something that you just went and scooped some leaves and put a pile of leaves together and had a leaf burning there and said, "That's my altar." There had to be some work put into building an altar. It had to be something that the Bible said that had to be natural. And this is the thing that really caught my attention as I was studying for this message. A natural altar sometimes is the worst altar. Many of us would love to build our own altar. Why? Because if we were going to build our altar, sister, it would be of gold. It would look beautiful. It would have all the right polish. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine some time back, and he made the statement. He said, "There's one thing that I can't move in the church, no matter whatever happens. I can't move this in the church." I said, "Well, what in the world is, you can't? Could you never move in the church?" He said, "The altar." One of the former pastors years ago had built them with his own hands and stained them and polished them. And there are the sacred cow of the church, if you will. And I told him, I said, "Well, that's just silly." I said, "I understand that's important, but for the good of the church, if things need to be added to or built onto, there are some things that are important." Yes, I agree with that, but there are some things. But when we start designing and we start choosing our own altars, woe is us, because we are going to choose something other than what God chose. But there comes a point in our life, naturally, we find ourselves in a place of brokenness.
unbeknownst to us, we find ourselves when we are on our knees, when we've hit the bottom of the barrel, we can't get up anymore. We don't know where to turn. And we find ourselves strung out between God and earth, between eternities, wondering if we can get up another day. And we find a place where God comes into communion with our brokenness. And our life becomes consumed in the presence of God. And when we get up from that altar, we all don't look like the way we went in. You see, the danger in designing our own altars is when we design our own altars, they won't be bloody anymore. They won't have the putrid smell that altars often have. You see, the altars that I'm preaching about tonight are the altars that are piled up with divorce. They're piled up with backslidden children. They're piled up with addictions. They're piled up with things that most people wouldn't want to be around. But they're piled up with the things of confusion. They're piled up with fear. They're piled up with doubt. They're piled up with things that questioning if God really exists, even our own minds. And when you start dealing with some of those things, you start dealing with rebellious children. You start dealing with a carnality that's taking it to the next level, and you start dealing in witchcraft, and you start dealing in pornography in places that most people wouldn't want to go. I got news for you. Most of us wouldn't design our altars that way, but God did. And that is the place He takes us, and He consumes the things that we're not proud of anymore. And that's the place He takes the things that was our sacred cows, but in the presence of God, it becomes real, that says, "Oh no, this is not, it was important to me, but in God's eyes, it needs to be consumed. It needs to be removed from His presence." Why? Because things in our life that are of value usually in the presence of God become very small and usually very wrong. We in our infinite wisdom of mankind, in our flesh, carnal thinking, we hold on to things in our lives that we think are of value. To us, they're very important. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's things. How many's ever seen somebody that got a vehicle that they couldn't even do anything with it because it was so nice? They worshiped that vehicle. How many's ever seen somebody that got a new house and you couldn't live in the house because this is supposed to be a home, but you can't touch anything. You can't turn around. You can't sit on the furniture. Oh, we don't sit in that room. Why? It's a house. A furniture is to sit on. Is it not? It's to eat at. Is it not? If it's just there for looks, what good is it? But sometimes we have to recognize those things are very minuscule in the presence of God. When we look at the things that are of value to us, they have no eternal ramifications. Heavenlies, those things don't exist. When it comes to our eternity beyond this life, things in this world is going to just melt away. The things that are of natural things to us, notice this, when it comes to the heat of heaven or hell, it's going to dissolve. This earth is going to give up everything. We can't take those things with us. I don't care how many coins you got in a bottle. Those coins ain't going to go with you to heaven. But I've got one thing that will, and that's every prayer that was prayed, everything that was laid on that altar. God's going to remember the day that you gave them up to Him. And yes, some things may not be sin, but there may be some things that I willfully say, "God, they're important to me. Yes, it's important to me, God, but I'm going to give this up and I'm going to give it to you." Why, God? So I can apply myself to the kingdom of God in ways that I never would have been able to had I held on to those things. You say, "What are you preaching about, preacher?" I'm preaching about giving up some of my own agendas and funds and will of things so that I can dedicate myself to the cause of Christ. No doubt Paul was a tent maker. Scripturally, it kind of portrays that that's what his trade was. And You can't tell me Paul wouldn't have made more building tents when that was the main venue of living. You want to know what that relegates to? Does anybody know construction contractors around here? If you're good at building a house and you can build them fast and you can build them nice and you're a good craftsman, you can write your ticket. Because there's a lot of money in it. And no doubt Paul found himself in that same place in those days. He probably could have crafted the nicest of tent because Paul didn't have to do anything. But Paul said, you know what, I'm going to give up my trade. Every one of the disciples, Peter gave up the boat. He gave up the nets. And he said, you know what, I don't need that stuff anymore. I may not have everything in life, but I'm going to have the only thing that matters, and that's Jesus Christ. No doubt there's a point in time that every single one of us has to look into the eyes of God and determine what we're willing to put on the altar and what we're willing to not put on the altar. And we all make those decisions. And I choose to think most of us want to do what's right, but I still know our humanity. I still know our mentality within our flesh because I am one of you. And I know there are things in our own lives that we don't want to give up. We enjoy our time. We enjoy the things that we're able to do outside of church that aren't sin things. I enjoy climbing up in a deer stand and shooting a buck every now and then. That's a wonderful thing. But if that gets in the way of me and the presence and the moving and the building of the kingdom of God, I better reevaluate what I'm putting on the altar. Why? Because those things aren't going to take me to heaven. Those things aren't going to save my children. Those things aren't going to build a church. But there are some things that will. And that is what I'm willing to invest in the kingdom of God. I get a little nervous when churches nowadays start to tear away the foundation of the Word of God to build an easy altar. Did you catch that? To build an easy altar. You can pack a church out when all you asked for on the sacrifice altar is to show up on Sunday. But when you start preaching that you got to give your finances to God, you got to give your thoughts to God, you got to give the hobbies that you enjoy, you got to give some of those things to God, and it starts hurting where people are living now. And you know what, the crowd begins to evaporate and things don't look the same. Why? Because now all of a sudden there's something that I have to give to God, I've got to put on. But as long as you can say, well, you can live however you want, do whatever you want, and still come to church and be a part of the church, well, I've got news for you. That's not the kind of altar that I grew up in. That's not the kind of altar that God called me to. But there was a day that I had to give up my life, Sister Latrell. I had to take everything that I enjoyed, all the things that, and be willing to give them over to God. And you know what God did? God multiplied and He blessed me back 7 or 8 or 10 times the fold of everything that I ever gave to God. Why? Because God blesses those sacrifices multiplied times over than we ever gave to Him. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a preacher that gave his life to God at a young age and gave up his ambitions and his desires and his will to have money and things in this life and dedicate my life to the kingdom of God. And now I get to see my son used in the kingdom of God, and my daughter sing and worship and praise and do things for God. My family and my wife get up here and sing and do things for God. And you don't know what it is. I could have chosen the other lifestyle, but I got news for you. It probably would have led to a broken home. It probably would have led to a broken family. It probably would have led to children going down the wrong road. And it might have cost me my very own soul. Why? Because I was not willing to put things on the altar that I needed to. But there comes a point in time, every single one of you under the sound of my voice has to make a choice. How important is the altar to you? And are you trying to construct your own altar? Are you leaving the things that God consumes in the hands of God? Because you can't determine the place of brokenness that God sometimes has to bring you to get you to the place of changing. And most of us wouldn't choose that. Because we want a beautiful altar. But the altar I'm preaching about today is dripping with blood. The altar I'm preaching about today has hurts on it. The altar I'm preaching about today, there's a lot of death happens on that altar. It's a place of sacrifice. There's something that I noticed in studying for this message that I never really paid that close of attention to. The acceptance of the sacrifice hinged upon how the altar was built. God didn't bless a sacrifice, Brother Jeremy, that wasn't constructed in the way that He told them to construct it. For instance, when Saul decided he was going to build his own altar, he wasn't going to use the one that the man of God was intended to use. He was going to just do it his own way. Notice, the judgment of God fell. Why? Because he didn't do it God's way. He chose his own building of broken altars. I'm reminded as Elijah was in kind of a twix, and the people of God had followed foreign gods, and they were looking towards the gods of Baal, and Elijah seemed the God corrected him, but at his point he felt like he was the only one still living for God. He was the only one willing to stand up for what was right in his society. I don't know about you, but there are times that I feel like that it's the lone little candle in the wilderness sometimes. You're walking down through Walmart and you're thinking, my Lord, I don't want to be judgmental, but is there anybody that loves God in this world anymore? Does everybody just choose their own destiny in life? Does anybody have humility or care or compassion upon people anymore? Or are we just waiting for government to fix everything? I got news for you. If we're waiting for that, we're going to wait a long time, because I ain't seen government get much right yet. But there comes a point in time that most of us has to stop and say, you know what? I may be the only candle in the middle of the darkest woods there is. But if I can take my little flame and I can find me a little ember, I can find me a little dry leaf, and I can get something ablaze pretty soon, you know what? It may start it with just a candle, but sometimes along the way, there's going to be entire forest fire. Brother Smith, as you saw just last week, the entire Smoky Mountains, portions of it, up in smoke. Why? Because there was one little ember that started somewhere. And that's exactly where Elijah found himself, standing there. And he looks at them and he said, all right, if you say your God is so powerful, then we're going to have a test. Now, I'm not sure most of us are this brave. Elijah challenged them to a God duel. He says, all right, we're going to see whose God's real. You take one cow, I'll take another. You build your altar, I'll build mine. And we're going to see whose God answers by consuming the sacrifice. I want you to pay close attention as he said, and the fact is, I'm going to allow you to go first. The Bible said that those people started building their altar, and they put their cut up pieces of bullock upon that altar, and they started to burn it, and they started to chant, and they began to shout, they began to dance. And the Bible said they got to the point where they were so desperate for a moving of their God. Now hear me now, this is important. They got so desperate for a moving of their God that they climbed on top. Remember what we read a few minutes ago? Don't put steps up to my altar because you don't belong there. And they started dancing on top of the altar. They started playing with dancing in the fire. They started playing with witchcraft. They started playing with things that couldn't give them an answer. And the Bible said they got so desperate they started cutting themselves, even to the point that the Bible said they were gushing with blood upon the altar. And there sat Elijah watching. And Elijah began to mock them. And Elijah began to say, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's busy. And at one point he said, well, maybe he's talking to somebody else. Now, that's pretty brazen. You got people standing there on top of an altar on hot coals, burning themselves and cutting themselves. And he says, maybe your God's just busy. But the difference between Elijah and them was he knew the key was how you built the altar. Because the Bible said, when it was all said and done, he says, all right, you've had your chance. Now it's my turn. The Bible said he called the people together and he says, the first thing we're going to do, and you can find it in the Word of God in 1 Kings. He said, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to rebuild the altar. There's some damage been done to the altar and it wasn't done right. And they can dance all day until they get the altar right. The sacrifice is never going to be accepted. And he said, the first thing we're going to do is I want 12 stones and I want them perfectly laid out in the right realm, and I want the dirt laid out just right, and I want the wood laid out exactly the way God told me to put it. He said, I don't care if it looks right to me or not. I just know how God said to do it. And I got news for you when you get that right. He says, we'll go a little bit further than that, sister. He said, now I want you to get me a little water just to prove we didn't plant a match in here somewhere. I want you to soak the sacrifice down. I want you to put a trench around it, and I want you to put a ring around that of water to make sure that everybody knows that my God is real. And the Bible said he stepped back and he looked towards the heavens and he said, it's not because of me, but it's the same God of Jacob, the same God of Isaac, the same ones that taught me how to build this altar. And it's between them and it's between you, God. I have nothing to do with this. All I did was build a place to prove to them that you were God. The Bible said God came down and he consumed the sacrifice. The only thing Elijah had different than them was a God and a blueprint. That's all. A God and a blueprint. There's times, folks, that we're going through life. We don't choose the place that we find ourselves. And it seems like we're up against a rock in a hard place. We're up against a place that we didn't choose to be, but we're there. The Bible said Elijah felt like he was all by himself. But it was decision time. It's either put up or shut up. It's either stand up and prove he's God, or tuck my tail and run and find me in a cave to hide in, because that was the kind of place he was in. And he chose to do it God's way. There is something that every single one of us has that no other church in this town has. You say, what is that? We've got the blueprint for the altar. You see, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says we have an altar. And that altar was the apex of the cross. It was the place that the sacrifice was hung between heaven and earth on a natural. What was he hung on? They didn't make that out of gold, did they? It was made out of wood. It was a natural thing. Now think about this. The same God that was going to be hanging on that tree planted it and grew it. The spirit that was in that God knew what tree he was going to be hanging on before he hung on it. Think about that. He didn't choose it. If I were Jesus Christ and I had the choice in the matter, I wouldn't have chosen to hang on no cross. Think about it. Hanging there from your arms, basically suffocating yourself on a tree. But what we must realize is, the Bible said that was the altar that the sacrifice was laid upon so that we could have what we have today. The ultimate altar. And the blueprint I'm talking about today is the blueprint that many churches come together and they build their view of what they think the altar is. And what they view, what they think is a growing church. And what they view is what people's going to get to heaven if they just embrace just these few things. But I've got news for you. It's not up to us how the altar is built. We have a blueprint. We have a pattern, and it's called the Word of God. And the only way God is going to send His fire, the only way we're going to have an apostolic power-packed church in 2016 and 2017 is if we've got the altar built right, if we've got the foundation purely in place for God to come down and manifest Himself in our presence. We can have fancy sermons and fancy facilities and future-oriented fables that tickle the ears of feeble minds, but fail to fully frame the foundation and fatally condemn a society that's going to go to hell. Because we built it. We designed it. Do they grow? Sure they grow. Who wouldn't want to go to some place that you can build your own altar? However you see fit. That's a wonderful thing. But I got news for you. It's a quiet altar. It's a dry altar. But it's also a godless altar. Fancy singing can stir a soul, but you still need an altar. Going to a beautiful church can make you feel good, but you still need an altar. Bible apps on a phone won't replace an old-fashioned altar. Looking holy is a good thing, but we still need an altar. There are things... Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. There are things in our lives that if we look back, we wouldn't choose to go through. There are things that we look at what we're going through. Brother Harmon, if it was up to me, I wouldn't design it that way. Jeremy, when you're my age, you're probably going to look back on your life. And you're going to say, God, why in the world did you put me here? I don't understand. I don't get it. This isn't where I wanted to be at 40 years old. This doesn't make any sense to me. It's only because it's God's way of building an altar to get us to the place where He can consume the sacrifice that needs to be consumed. If we build our altar, Brother Payne, we're untouchable by God. As we distance ourselves, we isolate ourselves from the presence of God. And God doesn't consume a sacrifice of our choosing. He takes the sacrifice and the altar that's built out of brokenness, earthly things. I don't find anything in earth
It's not consumable. Everything in God's altar, whether it's money, furniture, flesh, people, time, they all dissolve. It's all going to go away. God says, I want an altar of earthen things. You take those earthen things and you lay them out. You put your things on top of that that mean most everything to you. And that's the point, that heaven and earth meet. It's the place that when he was hanging on the cross, that the heavenlies and the holies met sin. It was the intersection of the gulf that separated man from God. It was on the altar of the cross. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, what is it today in your life that we question sometimes? Why are we at the place that we're at? Why are we having to go through some of the things that we are going through? Let this preacher clearly tell us today, that may just be a natural altar. That you found yourself at a place and now God wants to know, are you willing to give up everything in your life to now allow Him to remake you and consume you? Because earth is meeting heaven. It's the place that I give up my will and I take on His. I don't understand it. I can't make sense of it. I don't know where it's going to turn out and I don't know where it's going to end up. But I'm going to have to learn to walk by faith from here on out. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but I know who holds tomorrow. If I'm willing to live around this altar, if I'm willing to live around the place of brokenness, if I'm willing to live around the place of humility, there's a place that God says, I can take that and I can use it for my glory. And nobody is going to question whether it was you or it was me, because only God can bring back from the broken something that was irreplaceable and irremakeable. But only in His presence. So I wonder how many of you would find a place today and thank God for an altar one more time. Even though we don't understand it, can we find a place and say, God, it don't make any sense to me, but God, here I am. Take what I have. I realize, God, it isn't much. I realize, God, it don't smell real good anymore, God. It don't look real good. Nobody wants it, God. But to me, it's me, God. It's all I have. It's my everything, God. But I'm going to put this on the altar. Today, God, I'm going to rededicate myself to the will of You, because that's the only place I have to go. Sometimes I feel like Elijah and I'm staring into the faces of a multitude of people that's they're condemning and they're questioning my God. But You, God, are all I have. You're the only thing I have to turn to, God. I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to do, God. But You're the only place I have to run into and find a place of safety and refuge. But in my broken state today, God, I need You to commune with me, because I need direction. I need something in the Spirit, God, one more time to consume those things of questions in my mind, fear and doubt and the things, God, I don't understand. I've got to give those things to You, God. Me being who I am, I want to figure it out. I want to control it. I want to be at the helm of everything in my world. But today, God, I understand. It's impossible, God. There's nothing I can do but turn to You and give my life to You one more time.
We see Your face and we
in Jesus' name, in Jesus' and humbly praise You, Lord.
Lord,
you are seated in heavenly places.
God, you knew exactly who was going to be here today when you gave me this message over a week and a half ago, God.
We fall to our knees.
Today, God, you want to remind us one more time that we don't choose the altar, you do.
Oh,
the only thing we choose is what we put on it.
Lord, you are seated in heaven.
But today, help somebody be willing to put the things that you're asking for on the altar, God.
We fall to our knees.
There's some sacred cows, God, that needs to be on the altar today. There's some hobbies that need to be on the altar, God. There's some thoughts that need to be on the altar tonight, God. There's some wills that need to be on the altar today, God. We need to give some things back to you once again. Rededicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. Nothing else matters. But you. Nothing else matters but you, God. I want a sacrifice, God, that's pleasing. You were the perfect one, God, to give us a demonstration of what a real sacrifice is, God. And you didn't choose your will. You didn't choose your death. But you were willing to live it. You are willing to give it. You are willing to walk through the valley, the shadow of death, for me. Now the question, God, is, are we willing to walk through that same valley of the shadow of death for you? Now we are recognizing how hard it really is, God. In Jesus' name.
Lord, you are seated in heavenly places, and as we draw near, we seek your face, and we fall to our knees and humbly praise you, Lord. Lord, you are seated in heavenly places, and as we draw near, we seek your face and we fall to our knees and humbly praise you, Lord. Oh.